function better, and you're no different. Resting is as important as working. There are a few examples of successful people who violate this, but they are not our role models. They succeed in spite of how they rest and renew, not because of it.
Number 2. Time block your one thing.
After you've time blocked your time off, time block your one thing. Yes, you heard that right. Your most important work comes second. Why? Because you can't happily sustain success in your professional life if you neglect your personal recreation time. Time block your time off and then make time for your one thing. The most productive people, the ones who experience extraordinary results, design their days around doing their one thing. Their most important appointment each day is with themselves, and they never miss it. If they complete their one thing before their time block is done, they don't necessarily call it a day. They use the focusing question to tell them how they can use the time they have left. Similarly, if they have a specific goal for their one thing, they finish it, regardless of the time. In the book, A Geography of Time, Robert Levine points out that most people work on clock time, as in, it's 5 o'clock, I'll see you tomorrow. Others work on event time, which is, my work is done when it's done. Think about it. The dairy farmer doesn't get to knock off at any certain time. He goes home when the cows have been milked. It's the same for any position in any profession where results matter. The most productive people work on event time. They don't quit until their one thing is done.
Ambrose Bierce said, day, noun, a period of 24 hours, mostly misspent.
The key to making this work is to block time as early in your day as you possibly can. Give yourself 30 minutes to an hour to take care of morning priorities, then move to your one thing. My recommendation is to block 4 hours a day. This isn't a typo. I repeat, 4 hours a day. Honestly, that's the minimum. If you can do more, then do it. In the book, On Writing, Stephen King describes his workflow. He says, my own schedule is pretty clear-cut. Mornings belong to whatever is new, the current composition. Afternoons are for naps and letters. Evenings are for reading, family, Red Sox games on TV, and any revisions that just cannot wait. Basically, mornings are my prime writing time. 4 hours a day may scare you more than King's novels, but you can't argue with his results. Stephen King is one of the most successful and prolific writers of our time. Whenever I tell this story, there is always one person who says to me, well, sure, it's easy for Stephen King. He's Stephen King. To that I simply say, I think the question you must ask yourself is this. Does he get to do this because he is Stephen King, or is he Stephen King because he does this? That invariably stops the discussion cold. Like so many other successful writers, early in his career, King had to find his time blocks where he could. Sometimes mornings, evenings, or even lunch breaks, because his day job didn't accommodate his ambition for his life. Once extraordinary results started showing up and he could earn a living from his one thing, he was able to move his time blocks to a more sustainable time.
Peter Drucker said, efficiency is doing the thing right. Effectiveness is doing the right thing.
An executive assistant on our team recently transitioned to blocking large chunks of time for a project. It was stressful at first. She was continually interrupted, email alerts pinged, colleagues dropped by, team members provided a steady stream of requests for her time. These weren't even distractions, they were her job. In the end, she had to borrow a laptop and book a conference room to escape drive-bys and random non-urgent requests. But within just a week, everyone became accustomed to the fact that for regular periods of time, she would not be accessible. They adjusted. It took a week. Not a month or year. A week. Meetings got rescheduled and life went on, and she experienced a huge leap in productivity. No matter who you are, large time blocks work. Paul Graham's 2009 essay, Maker's Schedule, Manager's Schedule, underscores the need for large time blocks. Graham, one of the founders of the innovative venture capital firm Y Combinator, argues that normal business culture gets in the way of the very productivity it seeks because of the way people traditionally schedule, or are allowed to schedule, their time. Graham divides all work into two buckets: maker, which is to do or create, and manager, to oversee or direct. Maker time requires large blocks of the clock to write code, develop ideas, generate leads, recruit people, produce products, or execute on projects and plans. This time tends to be viewed in half-day increments. Manager time, on the other hand, gets divided into hours. This time typically has one moving from meeting to meeting, and because those who oversee or direct tend to have power and authority, they are in a position to make everyone resonate at their frequency. This can create a huge conflict if those needing maker time are pulled into meetings at odd hours, destroying the very time blocks they need to move themselves and the company forward. Graham embraced this insight and created a company culture at Y Combinator that now runs completely on a maker's schedule. All meetings get clustered at the end of the day. To experience extraordinary results, be a maker in the morning and a manager in the afternoon. Your goal is one and done. But if you don't time block each day to do your one thing won't become a done thing.
Number 3. Time block your planning time.
The last priority you time block is planning time. This is when you reflect on where you are and where you want to go. For annual planning, schedule this time late enough in the year that you have a sense of your trajectory, but not so late that you lose your running start for the next. Take a look at your someday and five-year goals and assess the progress you must make in the next year to be on track. You may even add new goals, re-envision old ones, or eliminate any that no longer reflect your purpose or priorities. Block an hour each week to review your annual and monthly goals. First, ask what needs to happen that month for you to be on target for your annual goals. Then ask what must happen that week to be on course for your monthly goals. You're essentially asking, based on where I am right now, what's the one thing I need to do this week to stay on track for my monthly goal, and for my monthly goal to be on track for my annual goal? You're lining up the dominoes. Decide how much time you'll need to achieve this and reserve that amount of time on your calendar. In effect, you could say that when you time block your planning time, you're really blocking your time to time block. Think about it. In July 2007, software developer Brad Isaac shared a productivity secret he reportedly got from comedian Jerry Seinfeld. Before Seinfeld was a household name and still regularly toured, Isaac ran into him at an open mic comedy club and asked him for advice on how to be a better comedian. Seinfeld told him the key was to write jokes, which is his one thing, every day. And the way he'd figured out how to make that happen was to hang a huge annual calendar on the wall and then put a big red X across every day he worked on his craft. Seinfeld said, after a few days, you'll have a chain. Just keep at it, and the chain will grow longer every day. You'll like seeing the chain, especially when you get a few weeks under your belt. Your only job is to not break the chain. Don't break the chain. Figure 30, found on our website, shows a sample of what a time-blocking calendar looks like if you follow the chain. The X's add up to extraordinary results. What I love about Seinfeld's method is that it resonates with everything I know to be true. It's simple, it's based on doing one thing, and it creates its own momentum. You could look at the calendar and be overwhelmed, asking yourself, how can I commit to this for an entire year? But the system is designed to bring your biggest goal to the now and focus on making the next X. As Walter Elliott said, perseverance is not a long race. It is many short races, one after another. As you complete these short races and get a chain going, it gets easier. Momentum and motivation start to